everybody. My name is Dina Ray Ramos, and you're listening to the Problematic Fave podcast, where we revisit critically acclaimed and celebrated classic films and TV series from the past and ruin them for you by pointing out how racist, homophobic, and problematic they are. Yet for some god-awful reason, we still love them. I want to welcome our guest for this episode, Sujata Day, raconteur, OG Awkward Black, Misadventures of the Awkward Black Girl, Insecure, Definition Police. She's everywhere. Sujata, thank you for joining us.
Dino, thank you so much for having me. I am pumped.
Yeah, so this episode, we are going to discuss the film Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. What memory do you have of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? Of watching
so
it for
I don't
the first
have
time?
A specific, right. I don't have a specific memory, but I know it was not in the theater. Mm-hmm. It was definitely at home on a television. My older brother must have been really into it. And I remember just being aware of it, I suppose. Mm. So I will say I'll probably watch it when I was like 10 to 12 years of age. Yeah. And I don't remember, I remember loving the adventure of the film.
Yeah.
But not much else, really.
Yeah. It was an event movie. You know, it was like one of the biggest movies at the time. It was released on May 23rd, 1984, directed by one Steven Spielberg.
Well, that's why I didn't see it in the theater.
Well, I didn't see it in the theater. I'm like you. I remember it. But also, I think this was the first Indiana Jones movie I saw. I remember
Yeah,
seeing.
This was definitely the first Indiana I had ever seen.
Yeah. And just to make sure everyone knows, so like there's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, right? And then there's Raiders of the Lost Ark and The Last Crusade. So I remember Raiders of the Lost Ark came out first, then it was Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, and then The Last Crusade, and then there's the Crystal Skull one. But caveat, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom takes place before Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it was released after Raiders of the Lost Ark. So it's a prequel. Did you know that?
I did not know that. And this is kind of, I was wondering as I was rewatching the film, I was like, wait, this must take place in British colonial times. So that would have been before 1947, because I got really confused because I thought it was taking place in present time or 1984 or whenever this film was made. And so I was really confused that maybe they were in some other, time period, but then I read a couple articles afterwards and it said that it was a prequel and set in 1935, I believe.
Yes. So like this was directed by Steven Spielberg. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. Story by George Lucas. George Lucas created the characters. Screenplay by Willard Huch, I don't know how to pronounce that, sorry, and Gloria Katz. I believe they are, I want to say they're husband-wife writing team of the time. Of course, it stars Harrison Ford as the titular Indiana Jones, Kate Capshaw as Willie. Also on the list is Ki Hui Kwan, Short Round, who I think, we'll talk about him in a little bit because I adore him. Also, Amrish Puri.
Amrish Puri.
Okay. Roshan Seth and Philip Stone. I don't know who's who, but you know, there you go. per Wikipedia, this is the synopsis. After arriving in India, Indiana Jones is asked by desperate villagers to find a mystical stone and rescue their children from a, how do you pronounce it? Stoogie? Thuggy?
They said thuggy in the movie.
Thuggy. Cult practicing child slavery, black magic, and ritualistic human sacrifice in honor of the goddess Kali. As mentioned, this is the second installment of the Indiana Jones franchise, a prequel to the 1981 Raiders of the Lost Ark. Another fun fact, this film helped create the PG-13 rating, which is very interesting. Just because it was the second film to use THX technology. I remember, so like upon reading about this, it was this and Gremlins, because it's dark, but not too violent, but it's violent enough, I guess. So they were like, oh, let's have a middle ground between PG and then rated R. And then that's when PG-13 came. It was nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Score and won for Best Visual Effects. So there you go. So it is like a celebrated movie, but
I will say, as soon as that score came in, I was like, oh, I know this score. And then of course it's John Williams.
Yeah, John Williams. John Williams I want to say he does every single Steven Spielberg movie, or
I think
the
so.
Majority of them.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's get into this movie.
Opening scene. I think I didn't, all I remembered was the dinner scene. Okay. So the dinner scene at the palace.
Oh, at the palace. Yeah. That one, and, which we will get to, yeah, which is very
problematic. We will get to that. And honestly, when the movie started with a white woman. Kate Capshaw playing Willie, singing in
Mandarin.
Broken Mandarin. Broken.
And wearing the tradition, like a very glamorous version of the traditional Chinese dress. I don't know what it's called. And I do think I know what it's called, but I don't want to mispronounce it. Also, were the background dancers, were
none
any
of them
were
Asian? None of them were Asian. And I was looking, I was like, okay, maybe they just put like the brunettes in the front and there's Asian girls in the back. And I kept getting really close to my laptop screen,
yes,
to see if there were actually any Asian background dancers.
But there were. So like for those who haven't seen it, it starts off with, like Sujata said, Kate Capshaw singing a Mandarin version of Anything Goes. It's a huge production number. They're in some sort of glamorous or like fancy, I guess, bar or speakeasy or something. I don't know.
It's very James Bondy.
Yeah, that James Bondy.
Yes, yeah.
And she's singing this and a bunch of background dancers, basically in yellow face.
I mean, my goodness. And then when you talked about, they've got this sexy traditional Asian, costume, because they treat it as a costume. And they have the rice paddy hats.
Yes.
But they were like bejeweled. Anything goes.
So right off the bat, Orientalism.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the only word I could think of. I was like, oh, this is, you know, the Hollywood version of what they think Asian culture is, which is absolutely Orientalism.
And it was interesting. So she does her little Mandarin version of Anything Goes, which was just like cringeworthy. And then we see Indy, as we call him.
Indy, you know what? We'll refer to him as Indy.
Yeah, Indy. Come in and then meet a bunch of Asian gangsters, I guess. I have no idea what their relationship is.
I didn't mind that. I really liked the idea of, you know, Asian mafia gangster types. I thought that was a really cool setting.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this intro had to take place in Shanghai?
No.
Exactly. They could have easily been in the US. She could have performed Anything Goes in English. And these Asians could have been in New York or something, but no, choices. They made these choices.
Well, here's an interesting thing that I found out after rewatching the film, is that it was not supposed to take place in India at all. And it was supposed to be Indiana Jones and the Haunted Scottish Castle.
Wait, really?
Yes.
I did not read this portion. I wonder what, do you know why they changed it, or did they just say it was supposed to be, but they decided to do this?
Yes, I know exactly why they changed it. Spielberg had just worked on Poltergeist and he didn't want to do another ghost movie.
Oh, because I did also read that they didn't want to do double Nazi movies, because Raiders of the Lost Ark was Nazis, the villains. And then, so they didn't want to overkill the Nazis. I don't know, whatever.
Got it.
But that's interesting. The Scottish ghost movie. Indiana Jones and the Scottish ghost movie. Is that what it was going
to
be called?
Yeah, and honestly, it probably would have been less offensive to just do Indiana
No, it would have been.
Gosh, ghost movie.
But okay, so
in but the do you movie, think like, Scots would be mad?
No, because they're white.
Yeah.
And less, they probably would have gotten more authentic actors for that, honestly, at this time in 1984.
True.
And but also it kind of isn't Sean Connery Scottish, or RIP Sean Connery?
I want to say he is. He's either Scottish or Welsh. I'm not.
Okay. Anyways, and that he plays the father.
We're going on a tangent.
Yeah. Sorry.
About this movie that never got made, Indiana Jones and the Haunted Scottish Castle.
Which sounds like a Scooby-Doo episode, but that's okay. things happen. I guess the Asian dude wants the ashes of some sort of
Like a past emperor, I believe. Yeah. Yes.
And for some reason, Indy has it. I don't know why, because he's an archaeologist that everyone knows. Because
everyone in the whole wide world.
Everyone knows. Because even in Indy, when they're in India, the guy's all, oh, I know who you are. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Maybe in
Famous celebrity archaeologists.
Maybe in 1935, archaeologists were like the reality show stars, you know.
You know what? Knows? Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
But okay, so amidst all this, you know, this exchange of goods, of ashes of an emperor, Kate Capshaw's character comes in being really annoying and like diva-like. Not even diva-like, just annoying.
I want to say, I know you didn't mention it in your intro, like you talked about homophobic and racist. Mm-hmm. I also want to add that there was definitely a sexist quality to this character.
Yes.
And I wanted to kind of find out the root of that, because as I was watching it, I was like, these filmmakers do not like women.
It's like she has no agency, zero agency over anything that's happening to her, right?
Nothing. Yeah. And like you said, she's just really annoying the whole time.
She's whining. She's like this prissy woman who can't, you know, ride an elephant, I guess. I don't know.
So can I tell you the background info that I uncovered was that George Lucas was going through a divorce at this time, and Steven Spielberg had just been royally dumped.
So this was basically their breakup movie. Like when Taylor Swift writes an album about her breakup with a guy, this is their version of that. Like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg.
I think so, because I could not explain this female character for the life of me.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then, like, the exchange happens, chaos breaks out. The chaos is happening longer than it needs to, let me be honest.
I didn't mind the chaos. I kind of expected it, because it is an action adventure film, right?
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things to look at. There were a lot of choreographed elements that I enjoyed. Mm. So yes, it went on for a long time, but I also liked the comedy of the losing the antidote.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention that Indiana Jones gets—
Oh yeah, he's been poisoned.
Poisoned after they exchange the goods. There's a diamond involved that was his payment. And he swigs a drink. The Asian guy's like, ha ha ha, you're poison. I have the antidote. And then chaos breaks out because someone gets shot.
Yeah.
And then
so what's, I love the slipping on the floor of that, the antidote versus the diamond and them crawling.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done.
Yeah. I will say this. The white Asian dancers come out again during the chaos. I have to appreciate them because they're like, oh, we're just going to continue dancing throughout the chaos. I don't know if you recognize that, but
I don't
think I
saw that.
Because so like the chaos is happening. The Asian white dancers come out and they're like, oh, ah! But they continue their routine. It's so weird. Anyways, so fast, you know, he gets the antidote, whatever. And then they leave because I guess now they have to go to India, right? Because why do they have to go to India?
I believe they were not. Oh yeah, they were on their way to New Delhi for something, and I'm not sure what that was.
Yeah, I forgot. This is shows how prepared we are, guys. No, but I think
there were a lot. You know what? It's not about forgetting. I think there were a lot of moments that actually just happened with no justification.
I think he was going there for. You know, a mission, I guess. Someone was like, oh, can you go here and help these people?
But it was also just to get out of Shanghai and out of the way of these, you know, mafia.
The mafia characters. So, side note, the club they're in, I don't know if you saw it, it's called Club Obi-Wan. The sign said Club Obi-Wan.
Oh, that's a nice little touch.
Like George Lucas, you know.
I like that.
Okay, so, and then we get introduced to Short Round, Kehoe Kwan, icon from the 80s.
Adorable, and...
In this one, he's so adorable. And I do want to say, I'll get into this later, but the relationship between him and Indy, that was very Spielbergian, you know, this kind of father-son dynamic.
Who are you?
Wow, holy smoke! Crash landing!
Short Round, step on it!
Okie dokie, Dr. Jones, hold on to your potatoes!
Try not, huh? There's a kid driving the car!
But yeah, we're introduced to Short Round. He's really driving enjoyed, a car.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I think something that was really great about the relationship is that normally you see that with, you know, white actors only. And so it was really nice that they flipped it and just made him Asian.
Yeah. And also, yeah, he speaks in broken English, but that, you know, an accent. But it wasn't like I was waiting to, there was part of me like, oh, he's just his sidekick pet. But no, it wasn't. It was like, he was like an equal to Indy.
Yeah, he saved him many times.
Yeah.
Short Round made a lot of decisions on his own. Accents don't bother me if they're not, like it wasn't used for comedy. His accent wasn't comedic. So I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is good. This is like a cool character choice, you know? So I just really, really, I think they treated that relationship really well.
And I think Kehoe Kwan, I think this is before the Goonies, obviously. And, you know, I remember seeing him when I was younger in Goonies and in this, and I was like, oh, I think I felt a connection with him, not knowing that, oh, he's Asian too. Even though we're not the same Asian, I associate with him, or because I just feel it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Of course.
So they get away from the Obi-Wan Cafe or Club Obi-Wan, whatever, and then they get on some random ass plane. Again, action takes place. the pilots leave.
Well, the plane was owned by the mafia guys.
Yes. And so they're like, oh, we're going to kill them, I guess. Our trio, they take Kate Capshaw, Willie, with them, and Short Round and Indy. They finally figure out that the plane's crashing. Okay, so this is the moment where I'm like, okay, the physics of this makes no sense. This is just me being really nerdy about how they escape from a crashing plane on a raft. And that raft goes on a journey.
I mean, I was like, okay, is this the last mountain that we're sliding down?
It goes on for a long, they go down a mountain, jump off a cliff into a river, unmarked, unscathed.
Listen, I'm not gonna hate on that either, because this is this is an action film, and there's been moments like that in Mission Impossible movies where I'm like,
okay,
how are they still alive?
But that's like just me being very, you know, annoyed, not annoyed, but like unpacking it and dissecting it, because it's just like, come on. But it's also like, oh yay, you know. And then they meet the villagers. This is when things take an interesting turn. Of course, they're in India now, or they're like, oh, we're in New Delhi, and they're like, oh, how do you know? And then I don't know which actor it was that they see, they put him in a very menacing lens, like, no, not even menacing, more of like savage, like these people are savages.
It was the savage, you know, stereotype. And I think it was this moment where I was like, oh, I forgot that this was a white savior film.
Yes. Yes. And I tried to do a deep dive into what was happening in 1935 India at the time, but at the same time, I was all, this is too much to read, so I didn't.
I mean, there was a lot happening at that time.
Yeah, there was. And it's like, you know, I think immediately they portrayed this Indian community as poor, impoverished. Yes, they are, but it's like the lens was just so not...
Also needing to be saved, needing to have a savior that was not of Indian descent.
Yeah. They immediately were begging these people. Like they seemed so helpless, like they couldn't do anything without these white people and Short Round. but it was more of like the scene where Willie's all, I don't want to eat this. That was like such bullshit. It's like, it kind of just adds to why we hate that character even more. I think the whole sequence of them meeting the villagers and going on this mission, did you think Indiana Jones, well, let me ask you this. Do you think Indiana Jones is woke?
He personally, as a character, didn't seem to do too many offensive things. So yes. I do believe that he, you know, he just treated people as people. Mm-mm. So I think when he sees people that need help, he wants to help them regardless of what
they are. Yeah. And that kind of speaks to his relationship with Short Round, because we learn later on that I think Short Round was like trying to steal from him. They developed the friendship, and then there you go. But yeah, it was mostly Willie that I hated.
It was mostly Willie, and I don't think that was an accident that the filmmakers did that. Like I said,
because this is their Taylor Swift movie, basically.
And you know, Indy must be likable, and he's our hero. So
And I think honestly, this whole sequence of them meeting I find it problematic, because honestly at that time in 1984, I'm sure this was the first time a lot of people in America were seeing people from India. So this is the idea that they get from them, right?
Right.
Which is, granted, it's in 1935, but they didn't have to make them so sad and needy and like all, oh, we need this white person here too.
It felt like the campaign for adopt a child.
Yes.
In another country.
It did. And I was just like, the optics were bad. Let's just say that.
The optics were bad. I will say that there were moments, especially in that introduction to India scene, the villagers, there were moments where I was like, huh, this is an interesting storyline. Like when they're in the hut talking about, oh, the rock and the Shiva lingo. And I was like, oh, this is like actual Hindu stuff.
Okay, so, can you go into that? Like what, I wasn't familiar with the Hindu, the Hindu dialogue. What, from what you know, or what you're familiar, like what is accurate, like what was good and what was bad?
So I think Shiva lingo is a god, is one of our gods. And so my ears perked up when they said, oh, the Shiva lingo rock, and it had been stolen. And I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty accurate. Someone did a little bit of surface research on this. But there were aspects that they ascribed to this, like the magic and the evil and a lot of it that isn't in line. So then that made me think, oh, maybe you should have just made something up, as opposed to using an actual Hindu god, because it would be akin to us making a movie about Jesus and then changing his death on the cross to something else, you know? Yeah. So that felt interesting to me. I think they started from somewhere authentic and then it led into this fantasy version of it, which, once again, it didn't bother me too much because I was like, they are really saying the actual, you know, names. And I guess I was just like, okay, they're trying.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. It's because like I was, you know, let's move on to, because so they have to get this rock, which, you know, in this palace about a cult that stole all the kids. And then they eventually make their way to this palace or infiltrate it or whatever. And then again, they're like, oh, I know you, you're Indiana Jones. Here's a suit, you know, here's a suit. And Willie, we're going to dress you. Willie is like the epitome of the white woman who goes to India, or like the epitome of a white woman who goes to India, wears a sari all day, or goes to Jamaica and gets beads, or, you know, that kind of woman. And she's like, all, oh, look at me, I'm ethnic. Short round just stays Short Round.
Oh yeah, why didn't they put Short Round in a little like Indian outfit?
Because they're like, oh, you're Asian already, you know, we know you. Oh, yeah. You fit in. So they I guess they, you know, they're trying to infiltrate, they're trying to figure shit out. Then comes the dinner scene. Okay, so let's talk about this dinner scene. I think this was
before we talk about this dinner scene, I would just like to say that this movie was banned in India.
Yes. Yeah, apparently, like let's talk about that briefly. They tried to film in North India, but I think the government or someone wanted to get final cut, but of course Steven Spielberg didn't want them to, so they took the production elsewhere. And then also India banned the film. Until they got released on DVD or whatever, VHS. Sorry,
eight track,
laser disc.
now we're just naming old.
We're just naming medium. No, but yeah, and also I want to add the two screenwriters from what I read. Spielberg hired them because they had knowledge of the Indian culture. So what you said earlier about surface, surface, kind of like armchair you know, knowledge of the Indian culture. I think that's what they bought to. They were like, oh, you've been to India? Write this
template. Oh, wow. That's I was what, not aware of that.
That's what my, that. That's what I read. You know, maybe they do have, well, if they did have more knowledge of Indian culture, I don't think it would have gone this direction. Because I do believe that they start out, like you said, they start off knowledgeable and then it just goes off the rails.
Yes, it veers off and it veers off in, like I said, those fantastical directions, which I think can only come through with executive notes. So I feel like maybe, you know, you never know how many drafts these scripts go through, and these original screenwriters could have written a pretty authentic, cool script, and then they're like, oh, well, we need the stone to be magic and evil and satanic, and you're like,
we need this guy to grab this heart out of a chest. Like, who suggested that? Ugh. Anyways, before we get to the sacrifice part, let's talk about the dinner. Basically, it's just a bunch of gross shit that they eat. And apparently this is supposed to be Indian food. And as we all know, Indian food is delicious.
It's delicious. And my mom makes the best homemade Indian food.
Of course.
And this is the scene that I remember. This is my only memory of this film.
It's like the one that a lot of people remember, because that's what I remember the most. I remember the eyeball soup. I remember the monkey brains. I remember vividly the snake and them cutting it open.
More snakes coming out.
What else did they? Oh, the cockroaches?
Giant cockroaches.
What? You're not eating?
I had bugs for lunch. Give me your hat.
Why?
Because I'm going to puke in it.
This was, I think, the part that brought the most controversy at the time, I guess. It still is problematic. It's still, I just don't understand why they decided to do this.
I definitely feel like they did this for the comedy, for Willie's reaction to it, which is she's, you know, very disturbed and she passes out, and this is all supposed to be humorous. And so it's really interesting because it's in contrast to Indy and Short Round's reaction to it, because they're more quiet about it. And Indy's obviously having this other conversation at the end of the table. So he's not even like noticing eating the food at all.
I think Short Round is a little bit more reactive, but not as reactive as Willie. And I think they keep on cutting back and forth between their reactions of the food and then his kind of the plot, you know, moving forward with whatever Indy's talking to Homeboy about. And then that kind of also speaks to the whole representation thing, is that I don't remember any of the Indian characters' names. It's like, it's they're just props.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
I had totally forgotten that the Maharaja was a little boy.
Exactly. And I
remember when the Maharaja came out, I was like, oh my God, how did I forget that he was a kid?
Yeah. Well, here's something again, in our research, we found that one of the actors, Roshan Seth, said that the banquet scene, like you said, was meant to be a joke that went wrong. He intended it to be, this is the quote from Wikipedia. Steven intended it as a joke, the joke being that Indians were smart, so smart that they knew all Westerners think that Indians eat cockroaches, so they served them what they expected. The joke was too subtle for that film. What
that
the fuck?
That was the joke? Whoa, that is a talk around.
Yeah, it's like, Westerners think Indians eat cockroaches. Let's show them that again.
Wow.
Representation matters.
Okay.
Which
okay.
I think that, I mean, that kind of stuff is, look, years later, that is what stuck with us. Imagine what it stuck with white audiences. It's how it stuck with white audiences. Yeah. We know that it's not true, but white audiences just like all, ugh. I want to say this, there is a episode of The Office where Mindy Kaling has the Diwali episode. And right. then Angela says, I don't want to go because they eat monkey brains to the Diwali fest.
Which and is really, that's...
It's a nod to this.
Yes, that's insightful because that's exactly what, you know, let's say a white person who has never been to India, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, well, I'm not going to go to this Indian wedding or I'm not going to go hang out with my Indian friends or have dinner with them because this is what I think they actually eat.
Yes. So again, this is like, I'm going to be honest, it's damaging. I mean, it's not like the end of the world damaging, but it's damaging because this movie was in 1984, and I don't know what year that episode of The Office was in, but it's fairly recent. Not, I mean, I'm old, but it's in modern culture, let's say.
Yes. Yeah.
And it still kind of has this effect, although it was meant as a joke, you know, it's still true. You know, it still yes. has an impact. Okay, so that scene's horrible. Whatever. Then they stumble upon this whole sacrificial underground area where there's a lot going on. There's kids beating rocks. Breaking rocks.
they're like slaves to find these last two Shivalinga stones.
Yeah. And apparently we find out the Maharaja is also like behind it all. There's this guy with a horn thing who grabs hearts out of chest. They sacrifice someone. Do they do it on a daily basis? I'm not sure. But
so I'm gonna say something positive.
Okay.
And in terms of this, Amrish Puri is a very venerated Bollywood actor.
Okay, yeah.
And I do believe this role was really cool for him to play in terms of, I don't know how many Hollywood movies he was getting offers from, but he did. When he was speaking in Hindi and I could understand some of it. And it was all very authentic to the character that he was given to play. And I thought he played his role very well.
Mm. Well, that's good. I think.
Listen, we're talking about a movie that we enjoyed before, a movie that we love. So I do want to point out there are parts of the movie that I still enjoyed. I enjoyed watching this.
No, I think it's still a good adventure movie.
Yes.
It's not like totally trash. I think for the time, I do think that Spielberg and Lucas were aware. A low bar, they were aware, you know what I mean? Like, they were like, oh, okay, you know, we'll use an Indian actor. They could have easily got someone to do brown face or whatever.
Yes, for sure.
And I think a lot of the soldiers, I think a lot of them were Indian. There were a lot of Indian actors.
Yeah, there were a lot of Indian background. Actors. And a lot of these roles were fun. Like even the little Maharaja kid and even the British Indian guy that met them at the...
Oh, the one that knew Indy, who was like, yes. Oh, I know who you are. Here's
yes, yeah. And I really enjoyed his character because I was like, oh, that's a very good depiction of someone in that time period who would have been high class. Yeah. And
I think they tried.
They tried.
At least they tried. This wouldn't fly today, but they try. And then, but I think we celebrate it, whatever.
So let's get into this sacrificial satanic ritual. And it was, once again, they started at an authentic place and I appreciated it. So Kali Ma is our goddess of destruction. And mm-hmm. she is mostly known for like, murderers and rapists and really bad criminals pray to her to keep them safe during their, you know, criminal enterprises. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, okay, this is all kind of making sense. And mm-hmm. so once again, there was this like surface research of like, oh, Kali Ma, goddess of mm-hmm. blood and guts and destruction. Yeah. And then what started to happen, and some of the chants that they were saying are actual chants that we say at the
temple. Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah. I heard them saying Om Namah Shivaya, and that is something that we say. And now where it takes a turn.
Wait. Okay. Where does it say? Okay. When did it take a turn?
I mean, it's obviously it took a turn a couple years ago, but yeah. It takes the turn where I'm like, okay, this face makeup on some of the protectors around Almarish's character, whose name I believe is Molaram.
Okay.
So around Molaram's character, I was like, what is this tribal face makeup? And then mm-hmm. I recognized it as Mexican Day of the Dead makeup.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, okay.
So they are like, it's kind of like a fusion cuisine.
It's like a mishmash.
They're like a little bit of Indian, a little bit of Mexican. Hey, guys.
And guess what else is a little bit of mishmash? Is there's the voodoo doll that comes in later. And I was like, a voodoo doll?
Which is, I think, probably one of the main reasons why India was like, no, you're not going to film this here. And we're not going to approve this shit because that's not a part of us.
Yeah, we have nothing in our culture that pertains to voodoo dolls. So that was another kind of mishmash element that they had brought in. And it's also,
again, problematic because... It actually didn't make me scared of voodoo dolls. I remember seeing this and seeing the Maharaja. The Maharaja starts stabbing it. That actually, you know what? I actually like that part of the movie where it's like they're cutting back and forth where he's stabbing the voodoo doll and he's fighting that big guy. And then Short Round goes and fights the Maharaja.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
That whole scene. And then of course, Willie's doing shit.
I do want to say, If you notice that when the voodoo doll thing was happening, the one guard behind Maharaja is an Indian in blackface.
Oh my God, really? Okay, I need to watch that.
He has full black makeup on his face and also on his body. So I didn't know if they were trying to explain the voodoo doll.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
That is horrible. Wait, this is like offensive on top of offensive.
So they were like, oh, okay, since we have a voodoo doll, we have to put blackface in. That's kind of their reasoning.
I mean, I was like, wait, why is this guy not in that same Day of the Dead makeup?
So this was just a potpourri of cultures that they thought would work.
Or that they thought elements that they thought a white audience would be familiar with.
There you go. I think that kind of seems like the summary of this movie. It's like let's try to sell them Indian culture, but how we want them to see it. That kind of thing, which is why, again, problematic fave. Again, this we love ? We love Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Also, I think a lot of people think Temple of Doom is the worst of the main three, because there's also Crystal Skull, but whatever. And there's another one coming out soon. Isn't like, wow, kudos to Harrison Ford for doing that. Because he's not old, but he's not the way he used to be.
Right.
But it is... Seeing this, I think the nostalgia is a little bit more, I gravitate toward the nostalgia of this than actual content, which is why I started unpacking it more when I watched it. Like, I'm like, what's going on here? I will also, say, sidebar, when they are traveling from the village to the palace on the elephants and what's her face is complaining the whole time. Let's not forget, Indy is wearing a leather jacket the whole entire journey, and I'm sure it's hot. Why?
Probably like 100. It's probably like 120 degrees.
And in the jungle, so it's also humid. I just wanted to say, Indiana Jones doesn't need to wear his leather jacket all the time. And also, Harrison Ford was really hot in this one. What, you know?
And he's shirtless in those satanic.
When he gets brainwashed.
Yes.
Again, guys, I mean, I think where the problems lie is they're turning this like Hinduism into magic, which is the problem.
And also if an unknowing audience is watching this and they're like, maybe have heard of Kali, and that is, you know, one of my favorite goddesses, and thinking that, oh, Hindus take hearts sacrifice out of people. Human beings and then throw them into fires.
Exactly. So that's, again, this goes to the whole conversation. We say it a lot, guys. Representation matters. And so, like, at the end of it all, you know, Indy and Short Round and Willie even free the kids. But then, like, more shit happens. They're on a, like, this movie's so extra.
So I think this ending sequence slash set piece of the, I can only call it a roller coaster.
Oh, yes. The roller coaster to the bridge. So, like,
because the roller coaster to the bridge. Yes. So, it's the penultimate set piece. This roller coaster, I believe they may have discussed this with, studio marketing to say, hey, can we put this into the amusement park?
Yeah. Because, well, the Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland, which always has a long line for some reason. There's always a long wait for it. I remember always getting fast pass. That one isn't a roller coaster per se, because you're in a Jeep. I think there is there a Indiana Jones with a roller coaster? I'm not sure.
I don't think so, but I do remember being on the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland. It's just so funny because I didn't remember this roller coaster sequence in the film. And I was like, oh, I just feel like right now I'm in a Six Flags commercial.
Yes.
Watching the film.
It felt like a huge note. Like they were like, oh, you need to put a roller coaster in. You need to do it. But you know what?
I didn't hate it. You know, this was definitely one of those moments where like, okay, it's an action adventure movie. We've got the three leads in this bucket and they're traveling on wheels
to escape the flooded,
which was cool. All of that was very visually cool when the water started rushing
towards... the stakes getting, you know, yeah, it was
stakes are getting hot.
Yeah,
so it's like, I mean, it was just like one thing on top of the other.
Yeah, so like it goes from the sacrifice to Indy getting brainwashed to help with said sacrifice of Willie, because they chose her next, whatever.
Yes.
And then Short Round rescuing basically Indy and getting him out of the daze of this whatever brainwashing. They fight, but then they have to escape this. There a lot is going on, huh? They have to escape this area, this mine and sacrificial altar through a roller coaster and then the whole thing gets flooded. They go to a bridge. There a lot happens, and I don't want to explain it all, but you guys have seen it before. Listeners, you've seen it before.
Yeah, I also, at this point, you know, we're nearing the end of the film, and I want to take it back to this relationship between Indy and Willie.
And Short, oh, wait, I was going to say Short Round, but Willie, just we're talking about
this, I guess I'll say problematic relationship between Indy and Willie, because I do not believe throughout this whole movie, Indy has treated Willie right, from calling her dollface to sweetheart to kind of playing, it's the kid on the playground that pulls your braids that your parents say has a crush on you, but any healthy relationship is just, you know, someone being kind and respectful. And so to show this female character at the end of the film falling back into Indy's arms with
after being treated like shit,
after being pretty much abused, yeah, the entire film felt off to me.
No, I agree with you. And I mean, like, granted, she was like annoying as fuck. She was written annoyingly as fuck. Like, she has no arc. She stays the same the whole entire
time. She stays the same. She has not learned anything.
Yeah. Except I guess she's more accepting of people, I guess. Who knows? Whatever. But I'm just glad she never returned another. But she's actually also Steven Spielberg's real life wife, Kate right. Capshaw. Yeah. So yeah. Whatever. But yeah, I agree with you. Because like, they just kiss out of nowhere. There's that whole thing where she's waiting for Indy to come and basically bang her in her hotel room or palace room. She's totally problematic relationship. That, I think, just the female character, again, goes back to...
Even at the end, she tells him no, and then she starts to walk away, and he pulls her back with the whip.
The whip!
And I was okay, are we going to talk about consent? Or
which is supposed to be funny, but not right now. I mean, I guess back then it was like, oh God, you know, that Indy, he just saved a bunch
that
of
Indy,
brown.
He's so rugged and he's handsome. So rugged. And what woman would not fall into his arms?
I was just like, you know what? Do you think the movie would have been fine if it was just Short Round and Indy going to the palace?
Yes. I don't think we needed Willie at all.
I think the only reason why, because even...
Well, the sacrifice.
But it could have been another person they were saving. You know.
Yeah, it didn't have to be someone that he was kind of into.
Yeah, kind of into.
Yeah, like, because it's not like they were in love or anything. It was just like this woman that happened to be on this adventure with them.
Yeah, it's like she didn't even want to go on this adventure.
No.
Or no. It's like he was just falling for her because she was there, basically, period. I could see why people think this is the most horrible because it's all Kate Capshaw's fault. Sorry, Kate Capshaw.
It's not Kate Capshaw's fault. I do believe that she also...
Or Kate Capshaw's character's fault.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. I think she did a great job with the character that she was given, and it was definitely... That was all in the writing.
Again, this is George Lucas and Steven Spielberg's Taylor Swift movie, breakup movie.
Wait, I actually didn't know that Kate Capshaw was Steven Spielberg's wife. And now I'm thinking, did they meet on this film after Spielberg's breakup?
I don't know if they were together at this point. I'm sure listeners...
Well, that's why I'm saying, did they meet? Was this the spark?
This probably was the spark. We may be wrong, but, you know, whatever. But, okay, so we're getting closer to the end here. Well, so the movie's ended. But wait, before we get into that, I do want to just point out the moment. There's something touching about the moment when Short Round rescues Harrison or Indy, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry," and he burns him, and then they fight, and then they hug
Indy,
each other.
I love you. Wake up, Indy! Wake up!
Right, kid.
Yeah, I really had no issues with that relationship. I really enjoyed it. I thought it had a great arc. I thought Short Round's character was very well developed, and he got to do a lot of saving, mm-hmm. and he got to fight on his own as well. And so you know, like you said, maybe if Willie wasn't in the film, this could actually be like a really fun, you know, father-son type adventure movie.
That's where kind of like the Spielberg kind of nuance comes in, you know, very family oriented, everything. Well, no, at the end, it's very Spielbergian, because at the end, families are reunited. And, you know, there's something joyous about, you know, everyone being celebratory again. But at the same time, it was because of this white man that saved the day. White saviorship at its best. Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. I'm not gonna cancel this movie, as they say. I mean, it's been how many years and we're still watching it. It's on, I think, well, it's on various platforms. I watched it on CBS All Access, I think.
I watched it on CBS All Access. I also agree with you that this is not something that in this day and age it can be cancelable, because I do feel like there were many movies during this time period that had similar problems.
Yes, but I will say that we could tell they tried, right?
They tried. They definitely tried. And so that I'm going to give them a couple stars for that.
And also, I will give them a couple stars for Short Round, because I think Short Round, after watching this, I was all, wow, Short Round is a trailblazing character in kind of the Asian Hollywood journey, I guess, because he was a well-rounded character, entertaining. He wasn't really pushed to the margins. He
wasn't a stereotype.
Yeah, he was just fun. And he was certainly younger here than in The Goonies. But he's just so adorable in this.
He's so adorable.
So, like, what would you change? I mean, we've talked about other things, you know, like, briefly throughout our conversation, what you would have changed to make it less problematic.
I would make it Indiana Jones and the Haunted Scottish Castle.
Oh my God. You know what? If it was that, and it was just Indy and Short Round, that would be so much fun.
How fun.
Okay, so we'll make it less racist by just making it a Scottish ghost story.
Yeah, that's our executive note.
Oh yeah, that's our executive note. I mean, we could still include the Indian characters in there, but in a different lens, you know.
Yes.
that British guy will welcome, the British Indian guy will welcome him to the Scottish castle, and maybe, you know, haunted ghosts.
Yeah, there's sacrifice. No reason that actors of Indian descent cannot be in that Scottish ghost movie.
Yeah, this is gonna be it, guys. We're gonna change
there are definitely Indian Scots out there.
Tune into the next episode. You know, it's gonna be fun. We're on a journey, and watch Temple of Doom. Tweet at me if I'm wrong about something. But no, you know what? Don't tweet at me if I'm wrong about something. You know, we're always right. But thank you all for listening.
Problematic Fave is presented by Diaspora and made possible by the Center for Asian American Media. The podcast is also produced by Dina Ray Ramos and Andrew Merrill, who also edited this episode. Please subscribe to Problematic Fave on Apple Podcasts and give us a nice rating, because we will read them and they help. Diaspora is an alternative digital film and TV publication and media platform that focuses on people of color, the LGBTQIA+ community, the disabled community, women, and other historically marginalized communities in film, TV, and media. You can visit the site at thediasporatimes.com and follow on Instagram and Twitter at @realdiaspora. Thanks for listening.